We're going to be continuing on with this series we're calling Choices. We're going to be in the passage we've already looked at, partly anyway. So turn to 1 John chapter 4. But while you're turning there, it is time for a couple of memes of the week. Are you ready for those? Right? You had a void in your life this past week, and it was called Memes of the Week, and you didn't even realize it. So here you go. Two memes for you this morning. The first one is, I don't know how many of you are kind of like this, but this is, you know, there are those things that just make you feel brave. Here is a real life picture of Chihuahuas, the way they picture themselves when the doorbell rings. There you go. That's pretty accurate, right? Now, this next one is a little bit different, and let me just say this. I was a youth minister for 21 years, I guess, so I feel like I should know if this is accurate or not. But I've never lived in Florida. So I want you to see this picture of a Florida youth pastor. Here you go. I don't know if that's true or not. I can't verify that. But I have been around youth ministers enough to know that there's a youth minister somewhere that saw that meme and went, "Oh, that'd be an awesome youth group game." And he's wrong. He's wrong. I'm just saying that. So we are going to be continuing on with this series before we take the Lord's Supper here this morning. We've been talking about fighting for those things that make a difference in our lives. And we've been talking about fighting for those things that sometimes can be hard, that makes such a difference, and they're so influential, and they're so important in our life. And we're going to look at this passage here today. I want you to see 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 9 through 16. So let's read that together. Well, we don't read it out loud like three questions. Let's just read that. It says, "God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God and God remains in him." Today we're going to talk simply about this choice to have the greatest relationship ever. The greatest relationship ever is a relationship with Jesus. I was probably 6 or 7 when I accepted Jesus. It was at a revival service, and my parents are actually here today, so I'm going to share the story because they have a big part in all this, you know? It was a time where we were having a revival service. I think it was like a Monday night or something. The evangelist, the way you did it back then is you would just yell and scream and bang on the pulpit and cover the first 3 rows and spit, you know. It was a sermon on hell, and it terrified me. And I remember being, you know, like, how tall are you? And you're like 6 or 7, you know, like 5 feet tall or whatever you are, 2 feet tall, whatever you are. I'm like this big, and I'm terrified of hell. And I remember during the invitation, I wanted to go down, and mom and dad kept me from doing that. They took me to meet with the pastor, and we sat in the office. And I'll never forget, because he diagrammed what this looked like, but he said, "Look, it's not about not going to hell, it's about being in a relationship with him." That's the way I remember it. Now I was 6 or 7 years old. They're going to have a different story, probably. Is that the way you kind of remember it, roughly? Okay, mom said yes, and mom doesn't lie in church, so there you go. I started the greatest relationship of my life at 6 or 7 years old. And this is one of those things that we need to fight to keep this relationship with Jesus. Now, we're going to talk about this morning. Why is this a relationship worth fighting for, a relationship with Jesus? Why in the world is that worth fighting for? And it's just simply this. The first thing is simply because it's about love. Did you catch how many times love came up in that passage as we were doing 3 questions, as we were doing everything else? It's about love. Right? This relationship is worth fighting because it's about love. And the truth is that the world is full of a lot of ugliness and a lot of evil, but I love this glorious love of God. This love that looks past all of our mistakes, all of our flaws. This love that doesn't just see you and just see all of your mess ups, How many of you look at your lives that way and you look at the mirror and you think about your week and the first thing that comes to your mind is, I messed this up and I messed this up and I messed this up. But love is how God sees you. This incredible love of God that God wants to be in a relationship with you. But I think there's something we need to catch in this passage here. Notice verse 9. It says, God's love is revealed among us in this way. Notice it's saying, look, this is going to show what God's love is. Here's an example of it. God sent his one and only son into the world, right? Jesus came into the world. He lived a sinless life. He dies on a cross and he rises from the grave for you. But notice that this picture that John is painting is not about that. I mean, it's part of it. He's saying, here's the proof of God's love. But notice he goes on and he says, so that we might live through him. Mankind has this huge problem. And it's that death is separating us from God. It's that one day there's going to be consequences for our sins and we're going to have to answer for those. But Jesus came and he paid the price for us. And he died on a cross for us. Because God loves you. Because Jesus loves you. And it's this picture about we do not know what life should be like on this earth outside of that relationship. That relationship that's steeped in love. That relationship that is all about the love that he has. We have been forgiven. We have been saved from our sins when we ask Jesus to come into our life simply because God loves us. But it's more than that. He wants us to have life. He wants us to live through him. Now, I love that phrase, and y'all, I don't have a whole lot of time today, so I'm trying to hurry and not talk 100,000 miles an hour today, right? But think about that phrase, live through him. You know what that means? Your life is meant to be filtered through Jesus. You know what the greatest invention on the planet is? A coffee filter. Oh, coffee filters enable us to have the greatest substance that God's ever created. Coffee, right? Think about that. Everything that flows through that, the coffee sits there and it flows through that filter. This is this picture. Notice you have water that comes in and it goes through that filter. It goes through that coffee and then it's something totally different. It goes from being something boring that I'd never want to drink to being something that I would inject in my body as an IV if I could. Right? You catch this picture? We're supposed to live through Jesus. He is meant to be our filter. Everything in our life is meant to flow through him because he loves you. He wants what's best for you and he truly knows what's best for you. And God shows us this incredible love by sending Jesus, that he becomes a sacrifice for us so that we could be saved, so that we could be loved. And this is what I love about this picture too. That love changes us. And if God loved us when we were just doing our own thing and not living our lives the way he wanted us to, we're doing things against him, we're disobeying him, we're ignoring him, and yet he loves us in the midst of that, you know what that says about the way we need to live our lives? Love needs to be the way we live our lives too. This relationship is all about love, and that changes the way you interact with people. No matter who the person is, if God loves them, you know what you have to do? Love them, right? That's the mandate. And there's this important part that you need to see, right? Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Did it begin with us or with him? It began with him, right? He loved us first. Any of those spouses, you argue about which one loved the other first? Right? You're like, no, I liked you from the start, but you didn't even give me the time of day, right? I do a lot of premarital counseling and I hear those discussions all the time in premarital counseling. They're like, I liked him first. And he's like, no, I liked you first and you ignored me and you thought that I had a funny haircut and, you know, you weren't going to date a guy with a mullet or something, you know? I mean, you always hear those little stories, right? But I love this picture because he loved us first. I love how that impacts our lives. I keep saying I love about this love subject because love is this thing. I need to stop saying this is what I love about that because it's hard when you're talking about love so much. But I do love what Peter Kreeft wrote about this. He wrote a book back in 1988 called Knowing the Truth of God's Love. And he's an apologist and he's written some incredible things. But I love what he said here because he's talking about love and he says, love is not like any other subject. It can't be understood first and then practiced, but it can be understood by practice. It can only be understood by practice. He says, love is more like measles than math. It's not taught, but caught. I love that picture, right? This is the picture. God loves us, and we have this greatest relationship ever with Him, and then that changes us. Because it's like measles. Once you catch the love of God, it impacts you and it changes you. That's what this relationship can do. But there's a second thing that we need to see here that is, this relationship's worth fighting for because it's about love, but it's also worth fighting for because it's about nearness. Now, I love this picture in verse 12. He says, no one has ever seen God. You catch that? You know, we mentioned that in the three questions with Madeline and Bethany. Thank you, ladies, for doing that. Awesome. Woo! But no one has ever seen God. Right? Do you catch that picture here? So here's the question. If God isn't known by sight, then how in the world can we know Him? How in the world can we, if we can't see Him, how do we know He's really there? And I love what John says. A little bit later he says, this is how we know. Notice at the end there in verse 16, he says, we have come to know and believe. Do you catch this picture? Know and believe. He goes, look, if you want to know that God exists, it's not about what you can see here, but it's about love, and it's about the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And it's just this incredible picture, because it's about this relationship we have with Him. It's about connection. It's about nearness. This word that he actually says, this is how we know that we remain in Him and He in us. That word remain, it's used, actually the same word that Jesus uses in John 15 when he says that I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. Remain in me and I in you. In this passage, in this little thing that we've read here, John uses that word remain, that word abide, that word that gets used so many times. He uses it 5 times in these few verses. He uses it in verse 12. He uses it in verse 13. He uses it in verse 15. He uses it twice in verse 16. That word remain, that word abide, is used 24 times in this 5-chapter book. So if you don't catch the picture here, it's about nearness. It's about being in relation with God. It's about abiding and remaining in Him. It's about connection with Him. This relationship is about this connection that we have with Jesus. And I think this is such a huge thing because love only happens in proximity. Love doesn't happen in eyesight lines. And that's the picture that John is saying, look, it's a connection. Jesus loves you and He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be in contact with you. He wants to remain in you and you in Him. It's about a relationship. And that is worth fighting for. Think about how amazing that is. The God that created mountains and trees and supernovas and stars, the God that created our intricate bodies, the God that created eyesight, the God that created coffee, y'all, the God that created all of that wants to be in contact and in a relationship with you. Let that sink in for a minute. He has this extravagant, unbelievable love, and He wants nearness with you. He wants contact with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We sang earlier about that. We've addressed that, so I'm not even going to talk about that. But notice it's the Holy Spirit that is left within us in this connection. He lives in us. He abides in us, and we abide in Him. And it's just this incredible picture of the God who wants to be near you. The God who wants to be in proximity with you. The God that wants to be in relation with you. And we can't stop there. I wish we could stop there, because truly that's why that relationship is worth fighting for, this relationship with Jesus, because of the incredible love that He has. That Jesus is willing to live a sinless life. He dies on a cross for you. He goes through a painful death and He rises again from the grave. Y'all, that's love. And not only that, but He wants to be close to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants proximity to you. And let that sink in about how incredible that is. And we can't stop there, because the truth is, you can't read this passage and not realize that He wants you to share that relationship with somebody else. He wants you to share that connection. Notice these words that are used here in verses 14 through 16. You've got testify, you've got confesses. Do you catch that picture? testify and confesses. What's a testimony? Right? I have jury duty in a week. You know what a testimony is? Now, I thought that'd be an easy question. Are you guys awake out there? Are you all right? Right? A testimony is someone sharing what they know, what they're an expert in. Someone who will get on the stand and tell other people, here's what happened. Here's what I saw. Here's what I know. And this is exactly the type of thing that we have been called to do. We've been called to testify. We've been called to confess. You know what a confession is? Those things that you believe and you're sharing it with someone else. It's not just meant to stay inside of you, but it's something you're meant to share with others. And I love this picture because God wants to use you to testify about you. He wants to use you to confess about this relationship that he has with you. God wants to use you, your story, what you have been through. In church, a lot of times you catch a lot of people and you go, We talk about that word testimony, and you'll be like, hey, you know, Johnny, or there's a little somebody, yeah, not Johnny, but sorry, Johnny, but I was just choosing a name at random. We go, why don't you tell us your testimony? And someone goes, oh, my testimony's boring. And I want to go, what? Your testimony is boring? Your testimony is that God loves you so much that Jesus came and he died on a cross for you. And even if you were the only person here, he would have died for you. That is not boring. That is unbelievably amazing, right? But people go, oh, my testimony is just boring. No, God wants to use your story. And a testimony is simply you share what has happened to you, what you know. And John has made it a point in this passage that if you love Jesus, you're going to share him with other people. If you've been saved by Jesus, you share your story. If you're in relationship with him, you know how that impacts your life and you share that with other people. He wants to use your story to touch the people that are sitting around you, to touch your family, sometimes even to touch complete strangers in the line at Walmart. It can happen. As we take the Lord's Supper today, I want you to catch this picture. Y'all, fighting for a relationship with Jesus is a fight worth having. He loves you so much. And before we do anything else, we want to say, if you have not ever entered into that greatest relationship that you will ever have, you need to do that. And it's just simple. You just pray to God and you go, God, I understand that I've sinned, that I have messed up, and I understand that Jesus died on a cross to pay the way for my sins, and I want to ask you to come into my life to change me. I recognize that you love me, that you want connection with me. So be my Savior, be my Lord. And then, what do you do this week? You go and share them with people. We're going to take the Lord's Supper, and I want you to, if you are a Christian, man, we want you to take this with us. We want you to celebrate with us as we remember this incredible sacrifice that Jesus made. If you've never entered into that relationship, we want you to do that. We want you to come and talk. You can grab Rusty right now, or Patty. You could grab Mark or Mariah. They're right there. Grab one of our staff. They would love to talk to you about Jesus. They'd love to introduce you to him. We're going to pray, and then we're going to move on with our service. So let's pray. And God, thank you for this incredible relationship that John is writing about, that you want to be connected to us. You want us to abide in you, and you want to abide in us. Thank you for this connection that you desire to have with us. As we take the Lord's Supper, we're supposed to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made, his body that was broken so that we could be forgiven, his blood that was shed so that we could be in relationship with you, so that relationship could be restored, so that we could have life, have it to the full, have a place in heaven that we can call ours, and we get to dwell with you forever. God, if there's anyone here that has never entered into that relationship, we pray that they're going to do it right now. They're just going to stop and say a little prayer to you. But Lord, as we take this supper, as we take this little piece of bread, this little piece of grape juice here, this little drink of grape juice, you'll remind us of that incredible sacrifice that you made for us. Thank you for paving the way that we could never do. Thank you for going to such extreme lengths to show us that we're loved, to prove to us of what love actually is, and help us to live out in that love this week. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.